Purpose is your launching pad over here. Your goal is your missile that gets you going. But now then, a burning desire becomes your fuel to keep you moving. The Apostle Paul is a very good example of this. In Philippians 3, about 8 through 10, in the Amplified, and I won't go into it, I'll just paraphrase it. He says, with all my heart, my determined purpose is that I may know Christ intimately. And he did this with all of his heart, his desire. Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word. And this word desire comes in the attitude we should have toward what we're doing in our life. Desire provides the energy to move you through the bondage of the past. Do you know that? Desire brings our creative forces into being, which find a way in every situation. Desire also develops a wholesome attitude toward life. And interestingly enough, desire adds radiance and personality to your life because people really see that. When you have a desire to walk with God. Okay, so we've talked about determining our purpose. We set our goals. We plan our work. We work our plan. And then we ask God to fan our flame of desire to keep us motivated and moving toward this. He makes us into this type of a person if we want it. And in Revelation, you remember Jesus talked about the idea. He said, don't be hot. He said, I'd rather you either be hot or cold, but I don't want you to be lukewarm. You know. And a lukewarm Christian doesn't make much of an impact on the world for Christ. Another element in self-development is self-image. You know, I think probably all of us have a little problem with this. Romans 12:3 tells us to have a sane estimate of our capabilities according to the grace that God has given us. And by the way, God has given each one of us a measure of grace. And He wants us to know what our capabilities are. He wants us to know where we can go. Somebody said the greatest room in all the world is the room for self-improvement. My self-image will rise as I know more and more of God's character. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised that a lot of you are having problems with self-image today. You see, God made me. I'm unique. You're unique. There's not another one like you. And somebody may say, amen. Praise the Lord for that, you know. But God made you unique, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. And only you can fulfill that. He has a special purpose for you. He has a special purpose for each one of us. And the only thing that will limit God is our own desire for Him to do it. Jesus Christ died for me personally. That makes me very special. Right? In His eyes. You're very special to Him. There's no limit to what He can do. Don't allow negative thinking in your life. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Anytime you begin to have negative thoughts, anytime you begin to condemn yourself, then that is not coming from God. Now, God allows us to take a sane estimate and to see ourselves where we are and what we can do about it, but He always gives us hope. That's conviction. But Satan, he accuses us, and that causes depression. No hope. Remember that. I remember the story was told about the old deacon in a church. And this deacon was one of the most positive men that anybody had ever seen. In fact, he was so positive it bugged everybody else in the church. Because every time anything would go wrong, he could say, well, man, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. And you know, this kind of bugs you when you want somebody to kind of sympathize and somebody else comes along here and says, hey, man, it could have been worse. So a bunch of the fellows got together and said, well, we'll find out something here and get him on that so he won't say that anymore. So a bunch of the fellows came together with him and said, wait, listen. He said, Joe, You always tell us it could have been worse. He said, now listen to what we have to say. We had a dream about you last night, and we dreamed that you died and you went to the bad place. Now say it could have been worse. He looked at him a minute, scratched his head, and he said, well, it could have been worse. It could have been true. Your self-image will determine your progress in the area of personal development. Self-image motivates your actions and your attitude toward other people. Now, there are four precepts in the development and the maintenance of good self-image. The first one, number one, is be yourself. Be yourself. Don't try to be like somebody else. You may look at someone that God is using, and you'd say, boy, I'd like to be like him. You know, it's interesting. I was in San Antonio, Texas, just the other day, and one of the fellows said, you can always tell these men that are on this person's team, because every one of them looked just like that fella. They dress alike, they have the same beard cut, they talk alike and everything. And you know, I thought, how sad. You know, God didn't intend that. He made every one of us unique. He made every one of us unique. And we're not supposed to be someone else. I understood that there's a fellow now that had cosmetic surgery to make himself look exactly like Elvis Presley. Well, you know, he may look like Elvis Presley, but he's nothing in the world but a counterfeit. He will never be Elvis Presley. There was only one Elvis Presley. Well, that's good or bad. Cosmetic surgery and everything else will not make you someone else. God intended you to be who you are. The Coke ad says it's a real thing. And you know, you can get all types of substitutes of cola, but there's only one Coca-Cola. It's the real thing. Everything else is a counterfeit. Okay, number two, self-confidence, a self-concept motivates our action. Realize that you're unique. Believe it. And step out on it. Three, frequent self-analysis. Be objective. Be objective. Be honest with yourself. Thomas Edison said, if we did everything that we're capable of doing, we would literally astound ourselves and everybody around us. Just what we're capable of doing. And four, be positive. A positive attitude builds a strong will. Allow God to control your will. Continue to feed positive thoughts into your subconscious minds. Philippians 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That's Proverbs 4:23. Psalm 1:2. This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in day and night. Meditating on the word of God, filling your heart. The surest way not to fail is to determine before the Lord to succeed. All right, here's one I'm not too sure we like this one too well. Maybe you'd like to stand up for just a minute. Some of you look a little sleepy. Okay? Why don't you stand up? Don't get to liking it too well. Okay, in the area of self-development is self-discipline. Does this bug you? Some of you say yes. You have trouble getting up for a quiet time? Somebody said quiet time is nothing but mind over mattress. Somebody else said that you can't hoot with the owls all night if you expect to soar with the eagles in the morning. That's another thing for quiet time. But it takes discipline, doesn't it? I read somewhere that self-discipline under the control of the Holy Spirit is the most important requirement for individual success and also brings the most satisfying results. Now, the Bible states it this way, desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. It's amazing how the Bible can condense these things, isn't it? Isn't it great when you know that you've done something that you set out to do? And that takes discipline. Self-discipline has a great effect on your health, excuse me, and also your happiness, and believe it or not, your joy to other people. It seems that without self-discipline, nothing really falls into place or stays in place very long, at least. You have to be disciplined to do your Bible study. You have to be disciplined to take advantage of witnessing to people when you sit down next to them. A lot of times it's a lot easier just to get in limbo, isn't it? It takes discipline to review those verses. It takes discipline to get together for a Bible study. But look at the joy after we do it. The Apostle Paul said, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 9:27, and I'm not sure that I have the same interpretation as the same young man did back here when he announced his engagement here a little bit ago. But self-discipline, the Apostle Paul said, I keep under my body and I bring it in subjection. That's discipline. And that's talking about, the literally means that I pummeled my body, you know, to keep it hard so it could be effective for Christ. And he said the reason for this, so that after I preach to others, that I also might not be a castaway. Put on the shelf. It's not losing your salvation. It just means be put on the shelf. And if we don't keep self-discipline, that can happen. And I'm not talking about legalism. That doesn't even enter into this. I'm talking about a desire in our heart that God has put there, that I want to do what God wants me to do, and I want to do a job right. And I do this, what is it, John 14:21? He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. So if you want to determine how much you love the Lord, how much you are obeying him, that's because of our love for Christ, not because we have to do it. That's legalism. And a lot of times in the Navigator work, we get accused of being legalistic because we do talk about discipline. Some person may say to me, well, I said, I don't like to memorize scripture like you all do it. That little deal you do it, I do it my own way. I have my own plan. But when you begin to find out what that plan is, generally it's not there. You know, we need something to take us toward to the goal where we're going, don't we? Something to help us. Because basically we're lazy, aren't we? Boy, I am. And it scares me sometimes. Self-discipline begins with the Holy Spirit in control of our thoughts and our mind. And the person that doesn't allow the Lord to control his thoughts is unable to control his deeds. It's that simple. And I'm not sure I had the little poem right, but it comes to my mind, sow a thought, reap a deed. Reap what? Okay, sow a thought, reap an action. Reap an action, sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a destiny, or something like that. But anyhow, the idea, it starts with the thought. Only the man who can order his existence and discipline his own life can successfully lead other people. People will follow people that know where they're going. It's that simple. And we don't want to be like the blind leading the blind, do we? Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath not, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now don't be afraid of that verse. It doesn't mean physical fatness. Okay, what I think it's saying there is just hang in there. Stick with it. It'll pay off. Sometimes you get discouraged, don't you? And you know, I always like to look back on Jonah. He was down the mouth, but he came out of it. So don't get too discouraged. Okay? I have a little deal in my office that shows this little old lion hanging over a tree branch there, and it just says, hang in there. Well, you know, a lot of times you feel like that, don't you, as a Christian? You get tired. You get tired. Especially if you've been out in evangelism or you've been doing this, that, and the other, and it just seems like, boy, everything's coming in on you. You get tired. Well, one thing you want to remember, you can get tired in the work, but never get tired of the work. There's a big difference. Who are you looking at? Okay, then God has given us another area of self-development, and that's relationship with people. One of the greatest paths to self-improvement that God has given to us is allowing us to have intimate relationship with people. Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of a friend. We need each other. We really need each other. I remember when I first became a Christian, there were several people in Oklahoma City that met the Lord about that same time. We kind of became friends together. Joy Humphrey's dad up here, Jack, was one of my best friends. And Jack had one of the most positive attitudes of anybody that I've ever seen. And anytime I'd get a little bit discouraged, all I'd have to do is just get with him for about 5 minutes. And you know, you feel like you could fly to the moon without the missiles. He was the type of a guy that was so optimistic that if he was falling out of a 20-story building and he was on the 10th, he said, well, at least I've got 10 more to go yet. He was that way, and he still is. We need each other. And people over the world have been such a blessing to me, and especially a lot of the people back in Oklahoma City. We need each other. The greatest source of true happiness comes from, first of all, from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, doesn't it? But then, the next is with His people. No man is an island. And I believe that Jesus was saying this when He said, love thy neighbor as thyself. We need to think about that a little bit. Love our neighbor like we love ourselves. Someone has rightly said that you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming really interested in people than you can in 2 years trying to sell yourself to other people and get them interested in you. I think Solomon said the same thing about 2,000 years ago in Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. A great guideline in this relationship with people in development is forget what you've done for others, but never forget what they have done for you. And 90% of the people that we meet are hungry and thirsty for understanding and appreciation. And boy, we talk about witnessing to people. You know, a lot of times we go up to people and we've got our soul scalp belt on and we walk up right off the bat and whop, you know. When literally if we become interested in people, God opens that door for us. Show interest in them personally. And we do have something of value to give people, don't we? The Apostle Peter said, but sanctify yourself wholly and be ready. No, sanctify yourself and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you. We have a hope. We have a reason to talk to people. Isaiah 50 verse 4, you say, well, I don't know what to say. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says that He gives us the tongue of the learned to say a word in season to them that have needs. That's a tremendous verse. And by the way, it says he does that in the morning as you awaken day by day. Isn't that interesting? But one of the things is that you can't give it out if you ain't got it, can you? Somebody said if the output exceeds the intake, then the upkeep becomes your downfall. Did you get that? If the output exceeds the intake, then the upkeep becomes your downfall. So it still comes back to that personal relationship to Christ, doesn't it? Your walk with Him, day by day, allowing Him to build into our life. And a man is never so tall as when he stoops down to help another person. And I think Jesus meant the same thing when He talked about giving a cup of water to one of His children, helping one another. Then there's another area, self-development. By the way, each one of these topics should be a complete topic in themselves, but we're kind of skimming through them quickly. Possibility thinking. Probably one of our biggest needs is to believe God. Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith, isn't it? Well, without faith, it's impossible. Not maybe. It's impossible to please God. We need to start each day just taking God at His Word. Psalm 118:24, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Move ahead because God has something special for that day. It's a fact that when we think in negative terms, then we need to expect negative results. The flip side of that coin is true also, that if we think in positive terms, then we can expect positive results. I heard the story a long time ago about two ladies, and they were talking about, both of them came to this verse of Scripture where it says that if you have the faith of mustard seed, you can move a mountain, right? All of you know that one. This one woman lived by a mountain. She asked in her prayer that night that it be moved. She came out the next day, she looked at the mountain, it was still there. She said, well, I knew it. There was another woman in one of the South Pacific Islands, and this woman loved the Lord with all of her heart. And it was so fixed where she could not get to church and be with God's people because it was across the mountain. She came on this verse and she began to read it. And she said, could I dare ask God to move that mountain for me? She said, I believe I can. And she prayed, God, move that mountain so I can go fellowship with your people. Within a few weeks, the Corps of Engineers came through and built a big tunnel right through that mountain where she could go. Positive attitude. We need that, don't we? Another good illustration of that is David and Goliath. You know what David's crowd said? Man, he's too big to hit. Don't hit him. Little David looked at him and said, man, he's too big to miss. It's according to how you're looking at it, isn't it? Babe Ruth was like this. Babe Ruth made 714 home runs. And at that particular time, that was the world's record, the greatest number of home runs. Did you also know that he was the world's record leader in strikeouts? He struck out 1,330 times. But you see, his desire to win, he didn't let those defeats of strikeouts defeat him. Isn't that interesting? It's not how many times you're knocked down that counts, it's how many times you get up. And any great man that's done anything for God has been down many times, but God has brought him back up. Associate yourself with positive thinkers. Don't stay around people that are negative all the time. And you know what I mean. There are people that are like that. I saw a picture of a turtle moving on. And underneath it, it said this. Do you realize the only time the turtle makes any progress is when he sticks his neck out? I didn't know that. That's true, isn't it? You have to stick your neck out a little bit. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or the faster man. But sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Now put that into scriptural terms here in Philippians 4:8. There's a whole list of things that says think on these things, and they're positive. What are you putting into your computer? You can't have positive and negative thoughts at the same time, can you? Okay, we need enthusiasm. You know what the word enthusiasm means, really? The root word where it comes from? It means God in you. Now that's enthusiastic, isn't it? When God's in you, your life can't be the same again. You'll never be the same. Enthusiasm is necessary. It's absolutely necessary. Like if when you get up in the morning, do you walk in the morning and you look in the mirror and you say, good morning, Lord. Or do you say, good Lord, morning. Enthusiasm. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, you know it. It says of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not and they're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Boy, it's all available for us. Someone said that achievements are always in direct proportion to your degree of enthusiasm. All right. Now then, we've talked about a lot of things, haven't we? And these are ideas that we want to help develop our total lifestyle to achieve all that God has for us, to be what God wants us to be. We have purpose. That keeps you on the right track. Our self-image. We want to dare to be all that God wants us to be because you're special to Him. Your self-image. Make sure that you believe what God believes about you and that you're special. Have goals, signposts along the way. Have possibility thinking. Allow God to take your mind and renew it. It says that we're renewed in the inward man, even though the outward body deteriorates. Not the mind. God renews that. Relationship with people. Have creative imagination. Allow God to work through you. Keep this in balance with self-discipline. Keep that enthusiasm. Become a fanatic about Christ. Boy, you're a fanatic about your football games down there, aren't you? And you know, I get excited about that too. I remember Billy Graham was talking about, they were asking about if he liked football. He said, yes. He said, I watch football games. He said, I like to watch how the quarterback maneuvers his team and so on. But he said, you know, yeah, I don't care who's playing. Except, he said, when that North Carolina comes on, he said, then I take sides. And he gets enthusiastic about it, see? Well, that's what we're talking about. Enthusiasm and then stickability. And stickability means nothing in the world but just hanging in there. Don't give up. Somebody said it's always too late to give up. With a crowd like you here, this many people, God could change the world, literally. That's exciting, isn't it? As I look out here among your faces, it may be that some of you won't be walking with the Lord in 10 or 15 years. And if it is like that, that'll be sad. Because the potential is all there. And you're making up your mind right now what's going to happen to you 10 or 15, 20 years from now. And you're building that foundation of how you can do it. So don't let negative thinking slow you down. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, right here in this room, right in Oklahoma, Kansas, to show himself strong in your behalf if your heart is perfect toward him. And may God grant that each one of you reach the potential that he has for you. And God bless you. I appreciate being here. Let's have a word of prayer, huh? Our Father, we do pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts during this time might be acceptable in your sight. And Lord, anything that's been of the flesh, we pray that you would take it out, and only things that are eternal would be left. Thank you for this dear gang. Thank you for Max and his leadership. And Lord, we commit our time to you, and we pray that we might see the potential that you have for each one of us. And because of that, that as we look you in the face, you might say to us, well done, a good and faithful servant. And Lord, we know we can't do this, only as you empower us through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, for all that's done, we'll be careful to give you the praise because we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.